Morning. Today's daf and brachos, daf gimel. We are on the top of gimel and aleph. We're starting at the two dafs. That's sofa shmura. Talking about the zman kriya shma. There's a mitzvah of kriya shma. Say it in the morning and the evening. The correct order, as is presented by the gemara, is the evening and the morning. The pasuk says v'shach b'chov kamecha, when you go lie down and when you wake up. In terms of when the correct time to say the shma is, so that's been the topic since the beginning of the masechta, i.e. yesterday's daf. The gemara yesterday brought an assortment of opinions in terms of when exactly is the starting point. The opening of this window of Zman Kriya Shma Shel Arvis, and when is the closing point? After yesterday's daf, you know, there's a range of position. In terms of the opening time of the Mishnah, so the Mishnah tells us, Mishash HaKonim Nechnasim Lechol B'Trumasam, so it's from the time that the Kohanim eat their Truma, which, as we already established, it's the Kochavim, it's nighttime. So that's when you start saying Shema. And at what point in time can you finish saying Shema? So there is a lot of positions. In the Mishnah, there are three opinions, but we really could distill that to two positions. And that is, number one is the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says that Sofa Shema Rishona, till the end of the first watch. What does that mean? That's where we're going to start today in terms of the daf. We're going to identify what exactly that is. And but the other opinions of the Mishnah is Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim. Chachamim said Ad Chatzosra, and Gamliel says you have the whole night. Now, even the Chachamim acknowledge that Rabbi Gamliel is right. You have the whole night. And so, but the Chachamim instituted a Takana de Rabbanan, a safeguard, that they stop you at midnight. They stop you at midnight, so that way you know you'll be saying Kriya Shema. If you wait till 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, chances are you won't say it. So therefore, by midnight now is a deadline created by the Chachamim. And Rabbi Gamliel says no. Exactly to what degree they debate, how far is the Chachamim going to go, that a post-midnight Kriya Shema is no longer allowed. Is that lechatchila? Is that even b'di'evan? So that's a discussion amongst the Rishonim. I touched on it yesterday. I just touched on it right now, but without going into any depth, that is a subject of a debate. We saw yesterday on the Amud Beis, there are a plethora of other positions amongst the Tanaim in terms of what exactly is the starting time, what is the ending time. In terms of a starting time, so Amish only gave us one starting time, Tzeitz HaKochavim. So the Tanaim yesterday's daf gave us a number of other starting times as well. We saw at the bottom of the Amud Beis of yesterday's daf, a Braisa that quoted five opinions amongst the Tanaim, exactly when that range is going to be in terms of when the starting time of Kriya Shema is. As far as the Machlokis in the Mishnah, whether you'll have to the Ashmar Sarishona or you have the whole night, so as we pointed out yesterday, Rashi says it at the very top of our Amud today. It's part of, I did the Gemara yesterday, but Rashi says at the very top of the Amud, it really is a debate in terms of how to interpret the word b'shach b'cha. B'shach b'cha means when you go lie down. Does that mean the act of lying down, meaning when do people start going to bed? Or b'shach b'cha could possibly mean while people are in bed the entire night. And so that's a machlokus, meaning according to Rabbi Eliezer and all the Tanaim we saw in yesterday's daf, where it's a short window, it's a small window. Now, Rabbi Eliezer, by the way, it's not so small. In other words, it's from nightfall until the first watch. We said yesterday, we're going to say again this morning, that's 4 hours. So admittedly, that's not a small window, but it's a window. And the rest of the night is no good. And so obviously, Rabbi Eliezer understands b'shach b'cha means when you go lie down. As opposed to uv kumecha, I'm sorry, not there yet. As opposed to the Chachamim and Rami Gamliel of our Mishnah, so they say no, Shach Becha is a description of the entire night, meaning the Pasuk B'Shach Becha means when you are lying down. Not the act of lying down, but while you're lying down, which is the whole night. So that's the Machlokis in the Mishnah as explained by Rashi. It then becomes a little bit challenging. I'll just raise this as a question. I know this is a much discussed question. It's interesting because in the morning, Uv Kumecha, when you wake up, there are no two definitions of Uv Kumecha. Uv Kumecha means the act of getting up. So nobody's going to suggest that for the Kriya Shema of the morning, you have the whole day. Nobody entertains such a position. So it's a little bit strange that Uv Shach Becha, we have either the act of lying down or the entire duration of the night. But Uv Kumecha in the morning, you have no such range. And so that creates obviously an inconsistency. So how can one pasuk be interpreted to mean the entire night, meaning it's not the act of lying down, but it's the state of lying down. But in the morning, you could then say, no, uv kumecha means the act of getting up. Okay, I raise the issue. It does require investigation. We're going to go in the Gemara. In the Gemara, we're in Gimel Amud Aleph, at the top of the Amud, at Sof HaAshmora. My Kesav Rebbe Lazi, Kesav Shosh Mishmaros Haveh, Halayla. How many Ashmaras are there at night? And so what the Gemara knows, and we're about to learn together, is that it's a debate whether there are three or four. So the Gemara says, well, if Rabbi Elazar holds that there are three Hashemaros a night, so then Lema ad arba shos. So then obviously what he should say is that they're until the fourth hour. Meaning, take the night, break it up into three parts. So assuming a perfect 12-hour night, so you break it up into three parts, that's 4 hours per Mishmaris. Because of arba Mishmaros hava alayla Lema shalosh shos. And if the night is four Mishmaros, which is another opinion, so then fine. So then then allow Rabbi Eliezer to say that it is 3 hours. So which one is it? La'olam kesav shalosh mishmaros haveh halayla. So as far as Rabbi Eliezer is concerned, he sides with the position that there are three mishmaros every night. V'hakamash malan, di'ika mishmaros berakiv, v'ika mishmaros ba'ara. And what Rabbi Eliezer wanted to teach us is the following. He could have just simply said 4 hours into the night. But by saying the first mishmaros, so what he's also teaching us is that we're going to know. Meaning, what is a mishmar? Okay, so that obviously is a basic question, which I don't have a simple answer to. But basically, there are shifts up in Shemayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates the night with shifts. Now, I'm not sure if I can explain it any better, but there's this idea that up in Shemayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has shift number one, shift number two, shift number three, or, according to another opinion, same night, but just divide into four. Fine. With that stated, so the Gemara now points out that it's not just a function of break it up and we know the time, meaning we're going to know down here, even though what goes up in Shemayim is, for the most part, beyond us, above us. But when it comes to the Mishmaros, so there's a way for us to know. And how are we going to know? D'tanya. So the Gemara over here quotes the following Brisa, Rabbi Eliezer Amar, Shalosh Mishmaros Hava Alayla. Here the Brisa says the Beferish, according to Rabbi Elazar, there are three Mishmaros a night. The Alkol Mishmar, Mishmar Yoshev HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'sho Eig Ka'ari. Now up in Shemayim, so at the end of every Mishmar, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is roaring like a lion. Shenemar Hashem Mimarom Yishag Mima'on Kacho Yiten Kolom. Sha'og Yishag Al Naveihu. Pasuk Yirmiyahu describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu roaring. He's roaring Mima'on Kacho. Now if you look carefully at the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu that we just quoted, so how many times does it say the word Sho'eg? It says it three times. Evidence of the fact that there are three Mishmaros up in Shemayim. Yishag al Naveu, what is he roaring over? He's roaring over his Nave. Nave is probably a reference to the Beis HaMikdash. And so what the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu is describing is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response to the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. So we have now, according to Rabbi Elazar, the three Mishmaros. And it is, each one of them signifies a different time in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mourning, lamenting the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And now, how do we know all this? Meaning, is there any way down here that we're going to be able to identify that there is a change of the Mishmar? V'simin l'davar. And Rabbi Elazar continues in this Brisa. And yeah, there's a way we're going to know. And that is Mishmaros Rishona Chamor No'er. So if you hear the braying donkey at night, so that's the, now, I'm going to be careful because I'll say it's the end of the Mishmar, but that's not clear. Meaning, obviously with a Mishmar, it starts and it ends. And these simonim, these signs that we're going to be hearing, so are they describing the beginning or the end? Right now I'll say the end, but subject to change. So, chamor no'er. And shnia klavim so'akim. And the howling wolves at night, that's the second mishmar. And shlishis tinok yonek mishdei imo v'isha misaperes im ba'ala. And the third mishmar, so the baby is nursing from his mother, and the man and woman are talking. Now, Micah chashiv. So, Micah Chashev Rabbi Elazar. So now the Gemara wants more clarity. Fine. So there are, according to Rabbi Elazar, three Mishmaros. There are also simonim for us to know. These simonim are signifying what exactly. So, I Tchilas Mishmaros Kachashev, Tchilas Mishmaros Rishon Simonim. Sorry. I Tchilas Mishmaros Kachashev, Tchilas Mishmaros Rishon Simonim Lamali. Or to whom? If we're talking about the beginning of every Mishmar, so you know what the beginning of the first Mishmar is? So it's called nighttime. Right, the Tzeitz HaKochavim. So fine, so we don't need a simon for that, meaning we just simply see, it gets night. And Esof Mishmaros Kachashiv, Sof Mishmaros Achron Alamali, Siman Yamamahu. And what? He's describing the end of every Mishmar. So you know what the end of the third Mishmar is? It's called morning. So what exactly are these simonim? If they are marking off the end, so then we don't need a marker for the last one. And if it's marking the beginning, well, we don't need a marker for the first one. So El Chashiv Sof Mishmar Rishon V'Tchilas Mishmara Achrona V'Emtzayis to Emtzayisa. So one suggestion of the Gemara is that the Siman Rabbi Elazar operates like this. The first Siman, the braying donkey, That's at the end of the first Mishmar. The last Siman, the child nursing from his mother, or the husband and wife talking with one another. So that is the beginning of the third Mishmar. So then what is the howling wolves? Midnight, meaning the middle of the middle Mishmar. And so the Gemara gives another suggestion that the what we're really marking is the end of every Mishmar. So what do I need the last siman for? Don't I just simply see dawn? And isn't that now established that the Mishmar is over? So let me make a Kriya Shema. Laman deganim bebeis afel. V'lo yadez man Kriya Shema. Amos. So, no. Yes. But it could be describing the following. Let's say the person's in a dark house. Okay. Go back to your days in Eretz Yisrael where you had the trisim. So you don't know that it's morning. And now what? So now, Kevin de'isha mesaper simbala. So once, now I know this sounds funny because I'll translate the Gemara literally. Once you hear a husband and wife talking, or tinok yode mishtei imo, lekem likre, or you hear the nursing, the baby nursing, so now you know we've hit the end of the third Mishmar, which means that it's morning, and now what does that mean for you? It means it's time to get up and to say Kriyashma. Okay, that's the that's another possibility. So, a couple possibilities of the Gemara, exactly what these, when we're marking off these Mishmaros. Is it the beginning? Is it the end? Is it a little bit of a hybrid? Sometimes the beginning, sometimes the end, sometimes the middle. Okay, so we have a couple of suggestions of the Gemara. In this last suggestion of the Gemara, so we're saying that they are marking off the end of every Mishmar, so what do I need a marker for the last one? Don't I just see it's morning? And the Gemara has an ukimta, a circumstantial event in which you are in a dark house and therefore you don't know. First of all, the Gemara's way of marking it off is a husband and wife are talking. Now, how is one person privy to a conversation taking place between another husband and wife? That's a little bit unclear. And if we're talking about you and your wife that's talking, so then it gets a little strange. In other words, you and your wife are talking, you're like, okay, I know it's morning, I know we just spoke, both woke up, and I know we started talking, but I got to go say now Kriya Shema. That part admittedly is a little bit strange. But anyway, so there are a couple suggestions of the Gemara in terms of what these markers are exactly marking. Beginning, middle, or end, or a little bit of everything. Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Mishmei Derav Gimel Mishmar Sava Laila. The Gemara has the following tradition from Rav, and that is that there are Gimel Mishmaros every night. The Alkol Mishmar Mishmar Yosef HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Shoei Ka'ari. And like we already described, at every Mishmar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu roars like a lion. V'Omer. Now here, in this tradition that Rav has, a little more detail. And what does the Kadosh Baruch Hu say? Oy labanim shebav v'naseim hercharafti es beisi, v'sarafti es heichali, v'higlisim lebein umas ha'olam. Woe to my children that I destroyed the house, and I burned the heichal, and I exiled them from their land. Tanya Amar Rabbi Yossi Pamachas Eisim Alach Baderech. Rabbi Yossi tells the following incident, that he was walking on the way. V'nichnasi l'chorva, achas, mechorvos Yerushalayim l'ispala. And I went into one of the ruins of Yerushalayim, because it was time to daven, I need to daven. So I excused myself to go into a chorva. Now, a chorva is a ruined house. Okay? Not clear in terms of what exactly this particular edifice was, but it was a ruined house. And Rav Yossi goes in there because he wants now some private area. Now, a chorva, a ruined house, as we'll see, the Gemara is going to spend some time talking about the chorva. Not the chorva, but, you know, the generic chorva. It's a place that a person should not go. For a lot of reasons, and we're going to be detailing those reasons at the bottom of our amud. But in the meantime, however, he needed to daven, so he felt this would be a quiet place. And Rav Yossi is giving now first-hand tour of what happened. He was in the chorva, he was davening, and outside waiting for me was Eliyahu Hanavi. Right, shamar li ala pesach. Rashi says the word shamar over here means he was waiting. Right, va'aviv shamar es hadavar. Right, so shamar sometimes means guard, but in this context, it means he was waiting for me. In fact, and you see in the parentheses, right? Someone must have felt the need to translate it. Anyway, achi siyamti tefilasi until I finished my tefila. La'achi siyamti tefilasi, and after I finished my davening, amrli shalom alecha Rebbe. So he said to me, shalom alecha Rebbe. And amarti lo, and I said back to Eliyahu Navi, shalom alecha Rebbe umori. Va'amrli bani mibnei ma nichnas lechorva zu. And so he's now asking me, why did you go into that chorva? Amarti lo lispala. So I said, I went to the chorva to daven. What do you mean? You shouldn't have gone to the chorva. You were traveling on the road? Okay, stop on the road, daven on the road. Amarti lo midyari ha'isi shema yafsiku bi'ovrei derachim. And so Rabbi Yossi responds back to Eliyahu Navi, and he says, well, you know, on the road, it's a public area. People are going to be stopping me all the time. And I'm afraid someone's going to stop me and distract me and disturb me. Amar li, and he said to me, hayalach alei smal tefila katsara. And he said to me, okay, so shorten your davening and say a tefila katsara. Rashi over here writes that the tefila katsara is a reference to Havinenu. Havinenu is a abridged version of Shemoneh Esrei, and we're going to learn about it more later in the Masechta. So you should have davened a tefila katsara. Ba'oso shalimadati mi'emenu shlosha dvarim. So from this back and forth that I had with Eliyahu Navi, so three things that I walked away with. Number one, limadati she'enechnasin l'chorva. It is inappropriate to go into a chorva. More details of that coming up. Number two, limadati she'mespalim baderech. And on top of that, you're allowed to daven while you're on the journey. And number three, v'limadati she'mespalim baderech mespal tefila katsara. And when you're davening on the road, so what you should be davening is a tefila katsara, an abridged version of davening. V'amar li b'nei ma kol shamata b'chor v'zu. So, continued conversation between Eliyahu Navi and Rabbi Yossi. Eliyahu Navi says to Rabbi Yossi, what did you hear in the chorva while you were there? V'amar te lo shamati baskol shem min nahames ki yona. So I heard a baskol and it was wailing or cooing like a dove. V'omeris, and the baskol said the following. Oy lebanim shebavano sehem. And it said, woe to my children, destroyed my house, burned my heichal, and exiled my children amongst the nations of the world. V'amar li, Eliyahu Navi says to me, chayecha v'chaye roshecha, lo shazu b'vad omeres kach. So Eliyahu explains, no, it wasn't just at that moment. Ela b'chol yom v'yom shalosh pamim omeres kach. Every day he says it on three occasions. V'lo zu b'vad, by the way, we, now who have the benefit of having seen the Gemara earlier, so we know that it's attached to the Mishmaros, meaning the three times that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it is on each one of the Mishmaros. And not only that, but when the Jewish people go into the shuls and into the base medrash and respond, Yehei. Now, in our Gemara, we have the word Shemei. Now, probably it should be the word Shmo, because right now the Gemara clearly is giving us the Hebrew version. So, Yehei Shmo HaGadol Mevarach. So when we say, now we call it Yehei Shmei Rabbah. Okay, I'll explain more about that in just a moment. So what's the Kadosh Baruch Hu's response to that? Kadosh Baruch Hu menane rosho. So he bends his head, right? Kaviyachol, right? Obviously anthropomorphism. V'omer asher amel shemekalsen oso bebeiso. Kach. So fortunate is the king that their nation praises him in such a manner. And malo la'av sheiglas banav. And woe to the father who had to exile his sons. And woe to the children who were exiled from the table of their father. Okay. Gemara over here is obviously making reference to Kaddish and Yehei Shmei Rabbah. Interesting, the Gemara over here, when citing it, doesn't cite the entire line, right? The key line of Kaddish, but Yehei Shmei Rabbah Mevarach, or in the Gemara's language, Yehei Shemo HaGadol Mevarach. But nevertheless, Gemara over here is referring to Kaddish and the significance and the importance of Kaddish. Couple of interesting points over here. Tosfos, last Tosfos on the Amud, makes a couple of observations. First of all, Yehei Shmei Rabbah Mevarach L'Olam Olmei Amaya, so how is it to be translated? What's the interpretation of that line? So Tosfos writes, I'm going to read Tosfos inside. It's a critical Tosfos. Mikan Yish Lister Amash Pirsh B'Machzor Vitri. So first he quotes the Machzor Vitri. Machzor Vitri is an old Ashkenazic Siddur attributed to the son-in-law of Rashi, and in it, he writes a simple parish on the Siddur. And so when looking at original sources of how to interpret the Siddur, so you look at the Machzor Vitri. Tosfos says, I did, and I don't like the way he explained it. Not this line of Yehei Shmei Rabbah. So he says, Yehei Shmei Rabbah. Now this is the Machzor Vitri's pshat of Yehei Shmei Rabbah. So Yehei Shmei Rabbah, Shezu Tfilah Shanu Mispalim, Shiyamale Shmo, Kidichsiv Kiyad Al Kes Ka. So what we're asking is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name should be complete, and a portion of it was knocked out, and it needs to be completed. Now the pasuk he's making reference to is the war that we had with Amalek, where once Amalek went to war against us, so there is an incomplete version now of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. And Kiyad Al Kes Ka. It's not Yud Kei Vav Kei, it's just Yud Kei. So we're missing a portion of the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so when we say Yehei Shmei Rabbah, according to the Machzor Vitri, here's what we're saying. We want Yehei Shemei Rabbah. Now the word shame, let's read on. Shelo Yushmo Shalem, the Kiso Shalem, Ashim Chazor Shal Amalek. Well, when is this going to happen? When we destroy the descendants of Amalek? So the name of Hashem will be brought back to its full name. Uperusho Kach. Now, according to Machzor Vitri, this is the pshat. Yehei Shemei. Now, you see the two, you see the quotes over here. Yehei Shemei, Shem Ka. Meaning, the way Machzor Vitri understands is that the word Shemei is actually a contraction of two words. It's Shem Yud Ke. So, what we want, what we're asking for, is that the Shem Yud Ke be Rabbah. It be greater. Klamar, Shanu Mispalim, Shei Shema Gadol V'Shalem. So, what we're asking for is that the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu become even greater. That is the Machzor Vitri's understanding of Yehei Shemei Rabbah. Now, Umavarach Le'olam, now, according to Machzor Vitri, what are the next four words? The next four words, a separate point altogether. So, Umavarach Le'olam, Havi Tfila Cheres Klamar, Umavarach Le'olam Haba. And blessed in the world to come, in the future. Okay. That is all the Machzor Vitri's understanding of Yehei Shemei Rabbah. According to the Machzor Vitri, where's the comma inserted? After the word Rabbah. Yehei Shemei Rabbah, comma, Mavarach Le'olam Me'amaya. Okay. And Tosos, as you already see, is going to tell you, I don't like that pshat at all. So Vizelo Nira, Midikamar Hachi Yeshmei Hagadol Mevarach. First of all, just the way our Gemara presented it. When our Gemara quoted it, it said, Yehei Shemo Mevarach Hagadol. Now, our Gemara didn't quote the whole phrase, but even from the little that our Gemara quoted, our Gemara clearly didn't have a comma between Rabbah and Mevarach. If it did, so then our Gemara would have stopped after the word Rabbah. Okay. So, Mashma, the Tfila Achasi. Ve'ino rotz l'lam ha'shishmo gadol v'shalem. It's 1 point, says Tosfos, not 2 points like the Machzor Vitri says. And it's not the pshat that we're asking that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name become greater. Elei heishmo hagadol mevarach. The word shmei over here just simply means the name. In other words, it's not a contraction. It's not shem yud kei. It just simply means the name. And we're asking that the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu be mevarach. V'gam ha'omrim ha'olam. Okay. I'm sorry. Pause over here in the Tosfos. So point number one, major machlokus amongst the Ashkenazim, the Rishonim amongst the Ashkenazim, in terms of what is the proper interpretation of Yehei Shemei Rabbah, plus where do you put the comma? So according to Machzor Vitri, it's Yehei Shemei Rabbah comma and Mevarach Le'olam Me'amaya. According to Tosfos, Yehei Shemei Rabbah Mevarach Le'olam Me'amaya. So and it's based on. Is it 2 points, like the Machzor Vitri says, or is it one singular point, like Tosfos says? Okay, that's number one. A second really interesting point within Tosfos is going to be the language in which it's said. Now, our Gemara quotes it in Hebrew. We don't say it in Hebrew. We say in Aramaic. V'gam ha'shomrim ha'olam l'kach omrim kadosh b'lashon aramis l'fi shetfilas na'ev shavak adohu al-kein itakim b'lashon targum shelo yavino malachim v'yum mitkanim banu. So, I assume he's still quoting Machzor Vitri over here. Not totally sure, but he's quoting somebody, because as you see in just a moment, he doesn't like it. One suggestion in terms of why we say in Aramaic and we don't say it in Hebrew is because it's such a beautiful tefillah, we don't want the malachim to listen and understand, because then they would get jealous. Okay. And this point, whoever's subscribing to it, let's assume it's the Machzor Vitri, I'm not sure, but this point is based on another Gemara that describes that the malachim don't understand Aramaic. Now, can I explain that any better? No, I'm very limited in terms of why that should be. Okay, I know Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky has a piece of this in Emes Liakov, but anyway, whatever the case is, there is this idea that the Malachim don't understand Aramaic, and as a result of that, so then we're saying in Aramaic so they don't understand it, otherwise they would get jealous. Okay, Tosfos says I don't think that's a correct shot. V'zeh eino nira sherei kama tefilas yafo shehem b'lashon ivri. There are a lot of beautiful tefillahs that are in Hebrew. And so if our goal over here is to just convert it to Aramaic so the Malachim don't understand, so there should be a lot of conversion going on, moving our tefillahs from Hebrew to Aramaic. And we don't do that. So Tosfos says, I don't think that's the pshat. Elanir kedamrin b'sof sota. So he says, so what is pshat? So he quotes the Gemara in Sota. Ein olam iskayim ala sidra dekdushasa. The Gemara in Sota says that the world sustains itself on the fact that we say Yehei Shmei Rabbah, and on the fact that we repeat the Kadosh, 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 and Baruch Hashem Imkomo, we do so in Uval Tzion. And Ein Olam Miskayim Ela Asidra Dekedushasa, Vayeheshme Rabba, the Basar Agarata Shayu Regim Lomar Kadish Acher Adrasha. Now the Yeheshme Rabba, Tosfos says, is specific to the Kasha said after learning a Agarata. Vishama Yuame Aratzos. Now when learning Agarata, so it attracted the crowds. And everybody would come. The Talmid Chachamim would come to the Agarata, which so would the unlearned as well. And back in the day, Aramaic was the language that was spoken. By the way, interesting note, Aramaic was spoken not only in Bavel, it was also spoken in Eretz Yisrael at this time as well. It was the spoken language. And so therefore, when you had a Agarata, and everyone got together, both Talmid Chachamim and Ame Haratzos, and not everyone understood Hebrew, so lekach taknu b'lashon targum sheikum avinim shezah yelushonam. So therefore, take the Kaddish, which is so fundamental, and then translate it into Aramaic so that everybody understand it. I know the irony. Right nowadays, so few of us understand Aramaic. So if this is a correct pshat, so I'm not suggesting. But if you wanted to follow through with this idea, so then change it to the language that we understand. Right. Okay. Anyway, so two interesting points in Tosos, two critical points in Tosos. Number one, Yeish Me Rabbim Varach Le'olam Me'amaya. What's the correct way to pause? What's the correct understanding of it? Machlok is between the Machzor Vitri and Tosos. And number two, why is Kaddish in Aramaic? So he cites a pshat. Tosos says no, and Tosos offers his own pshat in terms of why it's in Aramaic. Okay. We're in the bottom of the Amud. We are on the Gimel Amud Aleph, the very bottom, two lines from the bottom, Tanur Rabbanan. We are going back to the topic of Churva, of going into ruined buildings. For three reasons you don't go into a Churva. Number one, Mimnei Chshad. Number two, Mimnei Amapos. Number three, Mimnei Amazikin. So number one, it's an area of suspicion. People go into these places because there's nobody there. And so generally speaking, it's places of ill repute. And you don't want to be that person. Even if you're going in for a right reason. Rabbi Yossi went in to Daven. But it's generally a place of ill repute. You don't want to be there. Number two, it's a ruin. The wall can fall down on you. That's not good. And number three, there are mazikin over there. Okay. So the Gemara now points out, so there are three reasons. Do I need all three? The Gemara says, yeah. Because as we'll see, we're going to create nafkaminas between these three reasons. So now, if it's already an area of ill repute, and you shouldn't be there, so then doesn't that mean now that that's enough? And so, what do I need any of the other reasons? So the Gemara says bechadati. Well, it could very well be that it's freshly ruined, and so therefore it's pretty structurally, it's pretty sturdy. Well, I know it's funny to say it did fall in, it did collapse, but in other words, we're pretty sure that from a structural standpoint, it's going to stand. And so therefore, if it's new, if it's the new ruin, I still have the other two reasons why I shouldn't go in there. So the Gemara says, okay, but I still have two reasons, and that's one reason too many. So the Gemara says, no, betray. You're going in there two at a time. And so the laws of Mazikin, if you will, so is that if you go in as one person, you become vulnerable to the Mazikin. If you go in as two people, Mazikin are not going to start up with you. So I betray chshan namileka. So the Gemara says, well, if that means that you're going in as two, that's two men, so then there's no issue of suspicion. So the Gemara says, no, there still is. Chshan namileka, betray upritse. Well, this goes back to the Gemara in Kedushin. At the end of the Gemara Kedushin, we talked about the hilchos of Yichud. One man cannot be secluded with one woman, right, assuming, of course, they're usher to one another, or even, right, apanu ala pnuya. Okay, the Gemara at the end of Kedushin. If it's two men, it's not an isra of yichud. But the Gemara in Kedushin at the end says, but that depends. If those two men are ksherim, so then yeah. So then there's no issue of yichud. However, if the men are of a poor reputation, they're pritzim, so then there is going to still be an issue of yichud even if it's two men. So, in terms of chshad, if they're pritzim, there's a concern of chshad. If there are two of them, there's no issue of mazikin. If it's a new house, there's no issue that the house is going to collapse. Okay, and what we're going to keep doing now is we're just going to go over various scenarios where two of the reasons don't apply, the third reason will apply. So the Gemara says, you're worried about the house collapsing. What about the fact that it is the place of ill repute? What about the fact that there are mazikin there? So the Gemara says, betray v'kashrei. Okay, two people go in, mazikin don't start up with two. They're kosher people. There's no issue of yichud. Okay. Mimnei amazikin, typically mimnei chshanu mapolas. Now we said the mazikin. So what about the fact that it's a place of ill repute? What about the fact that it's going to fall down on you? So bechor v'chadati uvitrei v'kashrei. So the Gemara says, well, it's a new ruin. There are two people going in. The two people that go in are kosher, so there's no problem of yichud, and there's no problem that's going to collapse on you. The Gemara says there should also be no problem of mazikin. Didn't we already establish that mazikin don't start up with two people? So e betray mazikin namileka. So bim kamam chayshinan. So the Gemara says, well, if it's mikoman, so then there would be a problem of mazikin. What exactly does that mean, mikoman? My translation, which is not Rashi's, is that they had home field advantage. Even I don't really mean that, but it means that they're comfortable in that area, right? Rashi writes, "Memkoman chayshinan, but makom sheim mitzuyin tadir chayshinan afila betray." Okay, so if it's a place where they're comfortable, so then there's going to be a problem of mazikin, even if it's two. Ibai seim alolam bas bechad uvechor vechadati. The Gemara says, or if you want, we could talk about one person going in. It's a new ruin, the kai bedabra. It happens to be, it's not in the city, it's out in the field. The house of mishum chshad leika, the aisha bedabra lo shchicha, mishum mizikin ika. Well, there's no issue of chshad because out in the field, so they're generally speaking no women over there, so it doesn't have this poor reputation out in the field, and it's a new ruin, so it's not going to fall down on you. It's not a place of ill repute, and the only issue and now is a mazikin because you went in as one person. Okay, we go back to the topic of the mishmaros. The mishmaros, the watchers of the night. So we already saw Rabbi Elazar say that there were three mishmaros, 4 hours each. We saw Rav also subscribe to that viewpoint. It's a machlokus. Tana Rabbanan. Now we know it's a machlokus because the Gemara asked the question at the beginning of the daf today. Does Rabbi Elazar say there are three? Does Rabbi Elazar say there are four? So by virtue of the fact that the Gemara is just asking that question, obviously the Gemara knows, subject to a machlokus, we see it now inside. Tana Rabbanan. Arba mishmaros hava laila divrei Rabbi. According to Rabbi, there are four watches at night, meaning you'll take the same 12-hour night, you break it up into four units, that's 3 hours each. Rabbi Nassan, Amar Shalosh, Rabbi Nassan is of the opinion that there are three, like Rabbi Eliezer. My time in the Rabbi Nassan. Now, what is the source? Is there anywhere in Tanakh where we could see whether there are three or whether there are four? Dichsiv. So we're going to start with a pasuk in Shoftim. Vayavo Gidon Umeya Isha Shir Ito, Bikseh Amachana, Rosh HaAshmores, HaTichona. So over here, we're talking about the Ashmaris, same thing as the Mishmar, Hatichona, the central one. Tana in Tichona ela sheyesh lefaneu lachareha. We have a brisa that says Tichona means it's in the middle. There's one before and there's one after. So that works if you're working with an odd number. I like three. Where if you have three, so then the second one is Tichona. There's one before and there's one after. Now good, that's a very good support for Rabbi Nassan. The Rabbi, my Tichona, achas min Hatichona shebitichonos. Okay, and what Rabbi will do is struggle a little bit, but he'll say a pshat. Pshat in the pasuk in Shoftim is tichona means one of the middle ones, meaning he holds that there are four, so that means that there are two central mishmaros, and so the pshat is one of the central mishmaros. Okay. Rabbi Nassan miksiv tichona shebitichonos, tichona ksiv. Now Rabbi Nassan's rebuttal, it's really simple. Read the pasuk again. The pasuk says, ha tichona, the central one. Okay. The pasuk seems certainly as a better source for Rabbi Nassan. My time at the Rabbi, but there's also that which supports Rabbi as well. I'm a Rabbi Zrika, I'm a Rabbi Ami, I'm a Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Kasef echad omer, chatzos alay ela akum laodosecha mishpatei tzikecha. So we have one pasuk in Tehillim that David HaMelech describes himself at getting up at midnight. The kasef echad omer, we have another pasuk also in Tehillim, kidmu einai ashmoros. Ashmoros. Now, David HaMelech describes that when he wakes up at midnight, so what is he looking forward to? Two mishmars. Okay. And so now the math here is very simple. We assume that we have four mishmars in the course of the evening. He gets up at midnight. There are two coming up ahead. So that means that there were two already behind him. Okay. And that gets us to the number four. HaKetzad arba mishmars hava alayla. So that means that there are four mishmars in total. That seems to be a very good support for Rabbi. Rabbi Nassan savalak Rabbi Yeshua. Now, as far as Rabbi Nassan is concerned, so he could look at these psukim and he could object in the following manner, subscribing to the viewpoint of Rabbi Yeshua. Did non Rabbi Yeshua Amr al Shalosh Shaos, sorry, ad Shalosh Shaos, chikain derech malachim la'amod b'Shalosh Shaos. What David HaMelech was describing is the remainder of the evening, meaning from chatzos until morning, and another 2 hours. Now, why do I say 2 hours? I know the Gemara just said 3 hours. So the Gemara is assuming, and Rashi explains it this way, that when we say that the rest of the kings of the world get up in the third hour. We're going to be hearing this idea a lot in the course of the first parak. Right? Kings, generally speaking, it's good to be the king. You get to sleep in. So kings in general woke up in the third hour. Now, over here in our Gemara, the way to understand it, says Rashi, is that they woke up at the beginning of the third hour, which means that after the sun rises, or after dawn, whichever is going to be our marker, so then they slept for another 2 hours, they got up at the beginning of the third hour. So, the balance of the night from Chatzos until morning is 6 hours. And then you're going to add another 2 hours, that gets you to 8 hours. And so, what David HaMelech is describing is not the time from night until morning, but the time from night until when the kings get up, which is a total of 8 hours. Divide that into two, that's 4 hours each. That's the two mishmaros that's being described in the pasuk. Okay, this is how Rebbe will explain it. So, shis the light of the tart, the imamah, 6 of the night, 2 of the morning, havalu shtei mishmaros, that's the equivalent of shtei mishmaros. Okay. And Ravashi Amar, and Ravashi says, look, you want to defend Rebbe? I'll defend Rebbe. Sorry. You want to defend Rebbe Nassan? I'll defend Rebbe Nassan. So, Amar mishmaros apagan, Amar mishmaros kari lahu. Look, the pasuk in Tehillim, don't get so caught up on it. Meaning there are three mishmaros in the course of the evening. When David HaMelech gets up, he's waking up at midnight, which is the middle of the second mishmar. Fine. So what are we left with? 1.5? You know what? 1.5 could be called 2 mishmaros. That's not a big deal. Okay. So, machlokus between the Tanaim, how many mishmaros are there in the course of the evening? Psukim that support each position. Gemara continues. Amar Rebbe Zrika, Amar Rebbe Ami, Amar Rebbe Yeshua ben Levi. Now, you're going to see a lot of this in Brachos, where the Gemara now is going to be changing topics. Shifts of the topic seem to be have nothing to do with the previous topic, but Semba Memra. If you look up a little bit in the Gemara, about 8 lines, you'll see that in terms of defending Rebbe, so it was Amar Rebbe Zrika, Amar Rebbe Ami, Amar Rebbe Shua ben Levi, and so we have the same Baal Memra. So the Gemara quotes other things that were said by the same Baal Memra. Ein Omrim Bifnei Ames Ela Dvarav Shel Mace. When in front of a mace, so what you should be talking about is only the mace. So you're involved in the Chevra Kedisha, or you're at the funeral itself. So the only thing you should be talking about are Dvarav Shel Mace. Should not be talking about anything else. Now what's included in anything else? Am Rebbe Abba Bar Kahana Alo Amar Nele B'Divrei Torah. Ava Mili Da'am Alei Fanba. So there are two opinions in the Gemara. The first opinion of the Gemara is, don't talk Torah in front of the mace. Meaning anything else is a reference to Torah. But if it's mundane discussion, then that's fine. Now why should that be? What's the distinction? So Rashi over here explains. Because if you're in front of a mace and you're saying Divrei Torah, so what is this what do you have to be sensitive to? The issue of Loeg L'Rush. We know that when you have a poor person, you shouldn't make fun of a poor person. That is just, it's obvious, it's basic, it's human. And so over here, you have a poor person. Who is the poor person over here? The mace. The mace can no longer do mitzvahs. And so therefore, it behooves us as a sensitivity, don't do mitzvahs in front of the mace. We just talked about this at the end of Masech Tanida, in terms of wearing tzitzis in front of the mace, in terms of using kalayim as tachrichin for the mace. Now, by the way, if you remember, the Gemara Nida, that was a difficult Gemara, because the Gemara says if you have a beged and it has kalayim, so put it on the mace. And so obviously the Rishonim all there are bothered. We saw the Tosfos over there. How could you take shatnez and put it on the mace? It's loeg l'rush. Okay, so an attempt to give answers. I'm not going to go over the answers right now, but okay. So if you're speaking Torah in front of the mace over here, so obviously it's a sensitivity issue. He can't do mitzvot. You can, and by you saying over Torah, so that is a violation of loeg l'rush. Now that's opinion number one. Opinion number two, ikad amre, amre Rabbi Abba bar Kahana lo amarne ela afilu b'divrei Torah v'kol shekein mila d'alma. No, when it says that you shouldn't be talking about extraneous matters in front of the mace, it means any extraneous matters. Meaning what you should be doing is focusing on the mace and talking only on matters regarding the mace. That's the second opinion. Interesting, Tosfos over here, second Tosfos on the Amud, so he quotes the Rif. U'pasuk Rav Alfas, Mishum Rav, Haidavka Divrei Torah, V'dvarim Da'ama Leislamba. So interesting, Tosfos over here says that we pass like the first version, where it's only limited to Divrei Torah, that you're not allowed to speak in front of the mace. And then also, Tosfos says, V'dafka Ba'arba Amashalom. And that's only within the proximity of Arba Amas. Once you're outside of Arba Amas of the mace, so then there would be no issue of speaking Divrei Torah in the presence of a mace. That's Tosfos quoting the Rif. Back to our Gemara. V'David bepago deleilahu kai me'orta have kai. So the Gemara says now, David, when did he wake up? So we just learned a tradition that he woke up at midnight. The Gemara says, I have another tradition. I have a tradition that he woke up in the morning, in the evening. Now, waking up in the evening is a little bit funny way to say it. Kind of means he didn't go to bed. I know. So, Havikai Dichsiv, the Pasuk says, Kidamti Beneshev V'ishav Eya. The Pasuk in Tehillim describes how I got up Beneshev. Now, what's Neshev? I mean, my die Neshev or two, the Gemara right now is assuming that it's evening. Dichsiv Beneshev Be'erev Yom B'ishon Laila V'afela. So the Gemara uses a pasuk in Mishlei to help us understand what the word neshef means. Now, a critical reading of the pasuk, b'neshef be'erev yon b'ishon laila v'ayfela. So it certainly sounds like neshef is a reference to the evening. Amar avoshi, amar av achi, achi kamar. Me'olam lo avar alai chatzos laila b'sheina. So we could explain this in one of three different ways. Number one, says the Gemara, is that what David says is that you're never going to catch me asleep at midnight. I was up beforehand. So midnight just simply means, if it's midnight, I'm up already. That's one way to say it. Rabbi Zera Amar Ad Chatzos Laila Hayem Isnam Nem Kisus Mikan Ve'elach Hayem Misgaber Kari. Rabbi Zera says, well, what we could do is we could break up the night, pre-midnight, post-midnight. Pre-midnight, so David HaMelech wasn't sleeping, but in other words, in and out like a horse. Interesting Rashi over here. Rashi writes, and while he was somewhere in between being awake and asleep, pre-midnight, he was learning Torah. That's what Rashi writes. After midnight, then he was up, full vigor. And Rav Ashi Amar Ad Chatzos Laila Hayosu B'Divrei Torah Mikan Ve'Elach B'Shiras V'Tishbachos. Or another way to say it is that before midnight he was involved in Torah. After midnight, Shiras V'Tishbachos. Praises to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so a number of ways of navigating how we have a tradition that David woke up at midnight, but at the same time we also have a tradition that he was already up well before midnight. And three different ways to resolve that discrepancy. We assume that Neshef is the evening. The Gemara says, is that right? V'Neshef Ortahu? Ha-Neshef Tzafrahu. I thought Neshef was morning. And how do I know that? Dichsiv. We have another pasuk. V'ayikim David me'a Neshef ad ha'erev. Le'macharasam. So David, so he went to battle, and he battled from Neshef until Erev. Now Erev we know is the evening. What's Neshef? So Ma'ilav mitzafra v'ad layla. So, seemingly, the best way to explain the pasuk is from morning until evening. But that means, of course, the neshev means morning. So, lo meorta vad orta. So the Gemara says, well, no. It means from evening until evening. So, yach lichto mea neshev vada neshev. Oh, mea erev vada erev. Well, that can't be. Meaning, if that's what the pasuk wanted to indicate, so it would stay with the same word. So, ela ama ravatre nashehave. Neshev laila vasi yamama. Neshev yamama vasi laila. So the Gemara says, what neshev means? It's basically a transition. It can transition from day to night or can transition from night to day. But the word neshev can go either way. It just simply is referring to a transition. Okay. V'davin mi'ava yad d'pagad alayla imas. David HaMelech knew exactly when midnight was. The Gemara asks, Hashta Moshe Rabbeinu lo hava yad d'dichtiv kachatzos alayla ani yotze b'soch Mitzrayim. So when Moshe went to Paru, he says, kachatzos alayla. Actually, this is a little bit earlier. This is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe, kachatzos alayla. My kachatzos. Ilem adam alei kutcha brichu kachatzos. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, about midnight? It can't be. So, mi'ika sveika kamishmaya. Kadosh Baruch Hu does not have a suffix. So, ela da amar lei bachatzos, va'asa'iu va'amar kachatzos. Oh. So, Kadosh Baruch Hu told him that I'm coming bachatzos, at midnight. Kadosh Baruch Hu, of course, knows. When Moshe relays the information to Paro, so he says, about midnight, kachatzos. Amar misafkalei. So that means that Moshe himself was unsure. That's what we think right now. That Moshe was unsure. V'David havayada. And so that means Moshe Rabbeinu, who had, as far as Chachma is concerned, the highest level of Chachma, and Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know when midnight was. And you want to tell me now that David knew? So, Simana havalei da'amar of Achab Rabizna. So the Gemara says, well, David, so he had a simon. Okay, this is a morning of simonim. Right, earlier we talked about the simonim of the Mishmaros. Now we're talking about David HaMelech simon, that he knew it was midnight. Amar Rabbi Shimon Chasida Kinor Hayatolo Lamala Mimataso Shel David. So there was a harp that was right over the bed of David HaMelech. V'kem Shigia Chatzos Laila. And then midnight comes. Baruch Tzfonis. And the northern wind, V'noshevis bow, blows right through. Umina Gein Me'elav. The first alarm clock of history. And it would play the harp right over the bed of David HaMelech. Mi'ana Ya Omid V'osik B'Torah. And immediately he would get up and he would learn Torah. Now, by the way, this goes against what we said earlier, because earlier one of the suggestions we made is that post-midnight, Shiras V'Tishbachos. And it was pre-midnight, it was Torah. Okay, so not perfect agreement of what his schedule was over the course of the night, But anyway, Ad she'alah amud ha'shachar. And that was until amud ha'shachar, until dawn. Kevin she'alah amud ha'shachar nechnesu chachmei Yisrael tzlo. And then you get to amud ha'shachar. And then chachamim come in. Amar lo adoneinu ha'melech. Amcha Yisrael tzrichim parnasa. And so what's on the docket for today's discussion? So the economy. And the Jewish people, they need a parnasa. Amar lehem lechuvis parnasu zemizeh. So David HaMelech opens up with the first suggestion for policy. So let's talk a little bit about redistribution. So the Gemara says, Amar lo ein hakometz masbias ha'ari. The kometz, the small amount that you offer, that you take from the mincha to bring up onto the mizbeach, that's not enough for the lion. That's not going to work. Ve'ein habor mitmalei mechuyaso. And you dig up a hole, try to take that dirt and fill up the hole that you just dig up with. And it's not going to fill it in. That's Rashi's way of saying it. See Tosfos, the Bam Tosfos over here, who says it a little bit differently. Anyway, so Amar lahem lechu upashu yedechem begedud. So David HaMelech says, okay, so what are we going to do? Poor economy? So let's go to war. Okay. Now I know, the cynics amongst us, and I'm not excluding myself from you. So the cynics amongst us will say, oh, so in other words, the war is good for the economy. And I know. But we've been through this Gemara before, Baruch Hashem, and I know many of you will say that's correct. So let's go to war. So miyad yo'atzim ba'achitofo v'nimlachim b'senhej m'sholem b'rim v'termim. And so now we're going to go through the process where we're going to first consult with Achitofel. We're going to ask the Sanhedrin. We're going to ask the Urim V'tumim. Okay. Amr of Yosef Maikra of Acharei Achitofel. Now, how do I know that that's the proper procedure? So, we have a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. Acharei Achitofel Benaya Ben Yoyada Ve'Avyasar V'Sar Tzaval HaMelech Yoav. So we have in order, number one Achitofel, number two Benayahu, number three Avyasar, and number four Yoav. Now, Achitofel is a Yoav. So as far as Achitofel is concerned, so that's the Yoav. That's who we consult with. So, in other words, basic strategy. That's the way Rashi explains it. V'cheinu Omer, the pasuk says, V'atzas Achitofel asher yatz b'yamim ha'im kasher yishal b'dvar Elokim. Okay, so number one, just consultation, a little strategy, a little planning. Number two, what you're going to do is you're going to ask the Sanhedrin. And that's Benayahu ben Yoyada, the Sanhedrin. That's a reference to the Sanhedrin. Interesting. What is the Sanhedrin going to do? Just one second. What's the Sanhedrin going to do? So again, I'm going to quote an interesting Rashi. Rashi's on the bottom of the previous Amud. Rashi writes, "V'nimlachim b'Sanhedrin, note l'mehem reshus, k'dei sheyispalu aleihem." Sanhedrin's job is they're going to be davening. They're going to be davening for the army. Number three, back to the top of Dalamud Aleph. Ev yasar elu urim v'turmim. Then we're going to consult with the urim v'turmim. Again, going to the Rashi on the bottom of the previous Amud. Rashi cites, why are you consulting with the urim v'turmim? To see if you're going to be successful. Say it's good to know how the campaign is going to go before the campaign actually starts. It's good to know that. V'chenu Omer v'nayel ben Yoyada la crazy v'al placey v'lam nikra shmam crazy placey. Why is the Urim V'Tumim referred to as a crazy placey? Crazy shekorsim divrehem, because the words are cut up and kores bris. It's going to establish that this is in fact so. And placey shemuflam b'divrehem, and they're wondrous in the words. And finally, number four, v'acharkach starts v'al melch Yoav, and then you go to the general. Okay, so this is a proper procedure. So this is what David HaMelech said when the people said, "We need Amcha Yisrael Tzrichim Parnasa." So David HaMelech's response is, "Okay, so we'll go to war." Let's finish up. Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Abba Bar Ada VaAmrila Amar Rav Yitzchak Bereid Rav Idi Maikra Uruk Vodi Ura Heneva VeChinor Aira Shachar. So a pasuk in Tehillim describing this alarm clock of David HaMelech, my Uruk Vodi Ura Heneva, my harp woke me up, Aira Shachar. And I wake up the morning. Rashi over here writes, I wake up the morning as opposed to the other kings. Right? You're going to see a lot of contrast between David HaMelech and the other kings. The other kings, the morning wakes them up. And not even that quickly. Right? It's 2 hours into the day, 3 hours into the day. I wake the morning up, says David HaMelech, already by Chatzos, I'm already up. Thanks to my trusty alarm clock. Okay, let's recap our morning. This morning we talked about the Mishmaros of the evening. Rabbi Elazar says that Shema is said until the end of the first Mishmar. So what is that? It's 4 hours. Why didn't he just say 4 hours? Because he wanted to teach us the halachas of mishmaros. And over the course of this morning, we went over the mishmaros of the evening. According to Rabbi Elazar, there are three. Agreeing with Rabbi Elazar is the Amar Rav. And we learned on the Amud Bey is also the Tan Rabbi Nasan. So they're all of the opinion that there are three mishmaros of the evening, which means that each one of them is 4 hours long. And so therefore, the end of Shema, according to Rabbi Elazar, is only at the fourth hour of the day. And then the Gemara launched into a lot of Agadah. Agarata this morning that dealt with the actual Mishmar itself, what Akash Baruch was saying during the Mishmar, the Simanim, that we now know which Mishmar belongs to which. Okay, we tried to figure out what exactly the Simanim are marking, the beginning of the Mishmar, the end of the Mishmar, or a little bit, maybe a little combination. We spoke this morning about Rabbi Yossi going into the Chorva, his meeting with Eliyahu Navi, the back and forth that they had, the problems of going into a Chorva, the three different considerations of why one should not go into a Chorva, the differences between these three considerations. We learned on the Amud Beis this morning a machlokus between Rebbe and Rebbe Nassan, how many Mishmaros are there in the course of the evening. Rebbe says there are four. Rebbe Nassan says there are three. The psukim that support Rebbe, the psukim that support Rebbe Nassan, what each is going to do with the other. A quick detour this morning in terms of not speaking in front of a mace. Is that limited to Divrei Torah? Is that any other conversation that is not relevant to the mace? Two different versions of the Gemara. I quoted the Tosos this morning, starting with the first version, only Divrei Torah. It's an issue of Loig LaRash. And then finally, the conclusion this morning was David HaMelech. David HaMelech woke up at midnight. David HaMelech knew when midnight was. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know when midnight was. So the Gemara says, no, David HaMelech had an alarm clock. Alarm clock that went off at midnight, exactly at midnight. That's how he knew when exactly midnight was. And then further discussion regarding David HaMelech and his nightly schedule. Further discussion about what happened in the morning when they consulted with David HaMelech about the economy and his response to their request.